Hello and welcome to Indie Podcast. Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by SoapEquipment.com. That's right. There's a place where you can go to get equipment to help you make more soap and also make other of your beauty products. Don't worry about having to do everything yourself with small equipment. At SoapEquipment.com, you can scale up on your own schedule and get help while you do it. Get more information at SoapEquipment.com. Well, you know, I've been hosting this show now since 2005, and I thought I'd try something a little bit different today. So this is our first day of having a co-host here with me. Her name is Jennifer Hardaway, and she is the owner of Clean Spa in California and also of the Mindful Nest retail stores, which are located in Burbank, and they recently opened a new one in Santa Monica. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Donna Maria. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited about today's guest. You know, we are both in the beauty industry, so we're thrilled to have Dal LaMagna. He is the founder of Tweezerman, and he's the author of a new book called Raising Eyebrows, A Failed Entrepreneur Finally Gets It Right. This is a wonderful book here. And Dal is a serial entrepreneur who in 1979 founded Tweezerman, a beauty tool manufacturer he built into a multinational, socially responsible brand. Although he sold the company in 2004, LaMagna is still widely known as the Tweezerman and continues to sit on the company's board of directors. He is a fantastic entrepreneur with a great story to tell. Dal, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm tweezed to be here.
Tweezed to be here. Well, that's really good. So tell us, you know, I've read through your book, and I'm so interested in hearing all about your story, but we don't have a whole lot of time. I want to start with this one question, if it's okay with you. I'd like to know what one thing you would say you have that helped your business go from what you call as being sort of a failed entrepreneur to a successful one. Just pick one, and let's start with that.
Okay, and, you know, it might also be useful to talk about how did I take my business from being something that was making a living for me, just everyday life, to being a very successful business that made me a fortune. Because I expect most of the women who are listening to us have businesses that are running, so they're not failures. But maybe they want to ramp it up into something that would be something they can retire on and not have to work. And that is all about how I learned how to empower my people and I learned how to delegate. I didn't do that in the early days. I was trying to do everything myself, and it just doesn't work. You can only do so much yourself. It's the idea of how do you empower your employees? Well, first of all, you take care of them, and they'll take care of you. For instance, as soon as I could afford it, I had health insurance for my employees. Now, health insurance is very expensive these days, and the way I would handle it now is I'd have a very high deductible so I can get the cost of the health insurance down. But if there's a catastrophe, my employees always knew a health catastrophe that they were going to be taken care of. And the other thing is job security. I mean, I gave them job security. They knew they weren't going to get fired just because I was in a bad mood that day. In fact, we established a Tweezerman policy where no one could fire anyone, including me, unless there was someone else who agreed to do that. You had to come to work drunk or drugged or not come to work to get fired. If you couldn't do your job, we would move you around the company as we got bigger and try to find a job for you. So people had job security and health security, and that is a foundation for having empowered employees. But meanwhile, that doesn't get you to having a company that's really going to start supporting you, a company that works on its own. And that happens when you start delegating. I was somewhat fanatical about delegating. What I would do is, let's just kind of back up a little and tell you about what happened with Tweezerman. When I discovered my butt covered with splinters and realized I needed a splinter tweezer to take them out because I was trying to take them out with a needle and a tweezer. And I had this idea for the splinter tweezer, and then I actually found a tweezer on an assembly line at an electronics company that was exactly what I imagined it to be and started selling them as splinter tweezers. Then a woman who worked for a beauty salon said, "Hey, get me a good eyebrow tweezer and I can sell them in my beauty salon." So I found a diamond tweezer from the same supplier of those splinter tweezers, which was not so sharp but worked, and I put it in a tube, and I went around to the I sold them to this woman who then she started selling them to her customers. Like every week she was selling 6 or 7 or 8 tweezers. So I realized, hey, that's if she can sell them at her salon, I can sell them at any salon. So I went around in Great Neck, New York, selling these things, and I sold enough to make a living. But right away, as soon as I figured out how to sell them, which was just simply walk in and hand the tweezer to the first person I saw who was working in the salon and tell them to try it, I then hired salespeople. Started hiring salespeople as fast as I could because there were beauty salons all over the country.
When you finally got to the point where you could hire some people, then you were able to delegate. But, Dal, what did you do before that? What sort of mindset would you say we need to have? Because many of our listeners, maybe they can afford to hire a very small number of sales reps, and oftentimes I will tell you it's usually during the holidays. But what if you are at the beginning of your business and you want to have good employees, but you're not there yet? What do you need? What mindset? What things do you need to have in place so you can eventually get yourself to that point?
Well, the first mindsets when you're first starting is you've got to not spend any money on anything unless you absolutely have to. And if you're buying anything, buy it used. Back in the day, we had the thing called the recycler, and that's where I got all my things. Now you have Craigslist, and I don't care what it is you need. You could find it on Craigslist probably at half the price you would pay if you went in and bought it new. The discipline of how do you now, you're working alone, you haven't even hired your first person, how do you know what to do every day? Because if you had a job, someone would be telling you what to do, but one of the reasons you don't have a job is because you want to do it yourself. I consciously balanced myself. I thought of my a successful business as if it was an equilateral triangle. I talk a lot about this in the book, the equilateral triangle approach to business. It's part of one of the stories, the Raising Eyebrows book that I wrote. And it basically talks about there are three functions for a business. You have the product or service, you sell it, the other function, and then you control your business. So those three sides of the equilateral triangle get equal amounts of your time, your creativity, your money. So you are making sure that you don't oversell and not have the product to deliver or overproduce your product and never get around to selling it. Or some people are really control freaks and they're always doing bookkeeping and they're never doing the other two things. You have to force yourself to say, okay, I'm going to spend, I have 5 days if I want to do it by the day. Today I'm going to be the accountant for my business. Tomorrow I'm going to be the salesperson for my business. And the next day I'm going to be as long as you're balancing yourself that way, you will have a business that will start to grow. And then when you hire the first person you're going to hire, if you're not even there yet, the first person needs to be your assistant. And that person needs to be organized. You need to be organized. I tell people, if you're not organized, don't start a business. Unless you're a genius and you're inventing some product that's going to be patented and you're going to hire someone else to run the business, and they have to be organized. For instance, when I hired those first people who were all people who were responsible for jobs that required them to be organized, I followed them out to their car to make sure their car is clean before I would hire them.
Well, you could see if they were organized. That's a really good point. Let's explore that equilateral triangle because I do know that a lot of our listeners are there. Jennifer, you experienced this yourself, don't you?
Well, I just got worried because my car is not necessarily clean, so maybe I need to close my
business. But maybe if your assistant's car is clean,
you need
to
slow down and start organizing and make sure everything. Organizing is a constant dimension of business. You're constantly organizing if you're really running a great business. That's what you're doing. You don't lose phone numbers. You don't lose opportunities because you can't find something.
Your desk
isn't a pile of junk.
Well, so Donna Marie, what was the question you actually asked me after I made my joke?
I'm finding that this is really interesting, that equilateral triangle concept, because what it does for me, and hopefully for our listeners, is it puts a framework around everything that has to be done. You need to have a good product, and you need to sell it, and then you need to organize and run the business, and that's obviously a huge thing with millions of things under it, but I like what you said, Dal, about making sure that you don't invest too much of your time in one thing. And let me describe what I mean to ask you this, because, Jennifer, you know this as a manufacturer of the products you make. A lot of indie beauty members will spend so much time perfecting a product and making it just absolutely perfect, or they'll have so many products in their line that they don't have time to sell them.
Yes, absolutely. I liked what Dal said about, you know, one day do this, one day do that, because it's so easy to get caught up in working in your business instead of on your business. And
right.
And having, you know, 10,000 flavors and 10,000 sizes, it's a lot. I don't mean 10,000 literally, but you know what I mean.
So, 2,000,
1,000. 1,000.
We ended up with 700 SKUs, Tweezerman, and I started off selling one tweezer.
That's amazing.
You're right. And Jennifer, one of the things that you're spending the day on sales, it doesn't mean you ignore the other two things if something comes up. That's why the equilateral triangle is the symbol, because each side is always in touch with the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that today you're going to be a salesperson. Tomorrow you're going to be a product development person. And I did in the beauty business, like a lot of us are in that business, the first 4 months of the year is really the selling season when you're at the trade shows and all that. The middle of the year, the next 4 months for me was always how I concentrated on production. And the last 4 months of the year, I concentrated on business organization and doing budgets and reporting to the banks and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I'm just making
a note. And connected to your initial question, Donna, about hiring people. So now, let's say, Jennifer, in your case, you're an inventor. You're the one creating all these products. You love doing that.
Yes.
So you might then hire a salesperson, a full-time salesperson, and that's all they did. So you cover that side. And then the next person you hire would be someone to run your company, meaning you're a CFO or a COO, someone who runs the daily stuff. So you could spend all your time on the product development stuff, and that would be okay as long as you had those other people working every day with you. So you consciously build your company that way, where you invest equal amounts of time in those three sides, and you could be a person working on one of those sides.
Right. I love that idea.
In my case, I didn't do anything at the end. I hired everybody to do everything, including be president of the company. My sister, Terry Ann, was great with product development. She took over the product development. And then I had Frank, a friend of mine who went to Harvard Business School with. He was the chief financial officer. I had Lisa Bowen, who was with me from day one, and she was the president. And I was the CEO, and I kept the culture of the company going, and I pushed out the frontier. And the company, the employees are now empowered and they're involved. I gave them stock. 20% of my company ended up being owned by my employees. They took the company to the $30 million company that it became. And that was this is all part of practicing responsible capitalism, is that you empower your employees and you reward them and you involve them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they carry you on their backs.
And you know, Dal, one of the things that you're saying I think is so significant is we throw this term around a lot, don't we, Jennifer? We say, I wear all the hats. And so the follow-up question, based on what Dal is sharing with us now, has to be, well, when do you wear which hat? On which days are you wearing that hat? And that really forces you to ask yourself that question, and it really makes you organize yourself.
I have one employee, and this is the first year I've made a living on my business. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with having the retail income. But it's the first year that I've hired an assistant to help me fulfill the orders. And, not the first time I've had an assistant, but the first time I'm responsible capitalism. I actually am paying, you know, all the stuff.
A living
wage. Board. It's not under the table.
Important.
Yeah. And it was important for me just to feel clean about it, but it was also important, I think, for her. You know, it's her first real job, so.
Right. Which addresses
the
issue of
truthfulness. It is quite a responsibility, paying those unemployment and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And telling
Dal,
the truth is one of the
The subtitle
the
of your book is A Failed Entrepreneur Finally Gets It Right. So I want to explore this a little bit, you know, failure and failing forward, and isn't it great to fail? I mean, we read a lot about that these days. So I wanted to get your thoughts on something. You say connected to failure is having problems, but you say we should frame things like this. You don't find problems, they find you. What do you mean by that, and how can we maximize the goodness of having the problems you're talking about?
Well, I want to be clear that finding a problem and solving it is something I talk to people who are looking for a business to start and they're wondering what to do, and I usually say, well, find a problem and solve it. But in fact, what happens is problems find you, and then when they find you, you can solve it. So if you're working inside a company and you want to be an intrapreneur and you want to take over and do things, you'll pick problems that you see the company hasn't solved them. But the process of solving problems when you're already going, like you guys, most of your listeners are already running their businesses and problems find them every day. There's a problem. So the question really could be, look, how do you solve problems? I mean, I love problems because they're fun. I don't get freaked out by them. I figure them out. One of the ways is you want to remember what the problem is when you're trying to solve it. You want to think what they call horizontal thinking. For instance, you want to light a candle. So now that's a problem. So now you're going to look for a match, and you're looking all over your house. Meanwhile, you walk by your gas stove five times, forgetting that it was your candle you wanted to light, and you could have just turned the stove on and lit it. So a horizontal thinker remembers the problem they're trying to solve. So that's one piece of advice. The other thing is also realize that problems sometimes are caused by multi things on top of each other. So your computer is not working right for some. Let's pick a radio. All right. So your radio isn't, your sound system isn't working. The sound isn't coming out of your speakers. So you check around, and you know the first thing you do, you check to see the most basic thing. Make sure it's plugged in and there's power, okay, so you don't take it apart before you do it. So you've done that. And then you find out that you didn't have the right button pressed on your stereo system. You had it on DVD instead of radio. You want to listen to your radio. So you press that. Still not working. There's another problem. The speaker wire isn't connected. So now you connect the speaker wire. So the point of that example is that sometimes problems have three or four different or two different causes. So you want to just constantly watch for that. And as you solve problems, you move on, and then you systematize things as a result, and then you're able to pay attention to other things. You have less problems, by the way, if you're organized, getting back to that. You don't lose your keys if you always put them in the same place. You have a backup a key outside the house somewhere so you don't get locked out. You keep all your phone numbers and your contact list in one contact list, and you're constantly updating it. So if you have someone on the phone and you want to conference with them in quickly, you could do it quickly. When you're an organized person, there are less problems that find you.
So I want to stay, if we could, too, on this organization thing, because it goes back to the equilateral triangle that you just talked about. What if, Sal, you do have a business, it's already running, and you finally, as so many people do, get to the point after 1 or 2 years where you go, this is totally not organized. I need to pull back on some of my products. I need to take some steps to make sure that I'm organized enough to have this equilateral triangle. So what would you suggest for people who find themselves there? And a lot of people do as small business owners. They're running 24/7. Finally, they go, oh, my goodness, what have I created?
Well, first of all, I would recommend it, and I did this finally with Tweezerman. I didn't do it at a lot of the companies I failed at, is make sure that you don't work all the time. 24/7 is not the way to do it. Take Saturday off so you can organize your personal life, and take Sunday off so you can completely do nothing, enjoy life, and refresh your batteries. And I did that with Tweezerman. And if I had to go to a trade show over the weekend, I took Monday off. You got to take
the time
off.
Let me ask you a question, Sal. Can I just interject one thought here?
Yeah.
Today, I think more than ever, and maybe Jennifer would agree, maybe not, I'd like to know, when you say organize your personal life, it's almost impossible for many of us to do that without also organizing the business, because they're so interconnected
these days.
I think more so than in years past.
But you keep credit cards separate. You have a credit card for your business. And you don't put personal stuff on your business credit card. Keep them separate, and spend the
time. And I don't mean
financial.
I just lifestyle-wise.
No, right, lifestyle. You have a family, so you got to pay attention to your kids and your husband or your wife. It works. It doesn't work when you work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't work. You burn yourself out. It just doesn't work. You want to be sustaining yourself. So that's critical. You know what I did, by the way, this summer? I had yacht sales. I did a yacht sale. I cleaned out my entire house. I sold everything. I learned what I didn't need. I cleaned up everything. I just went around cleaning up my file cabinets. I throw away. We go through our file cabinets to tweeze them in. We used to do this as part of our process at the end of every year. Everybody had to go through our file cabinets and clean out and throw things away, throw stuff away, get rid of stuff, find things you'd lost. I mean, the best way to find anything is to clean up, and you always find it. If you can't find something, start cleaning up your house, you know, and you'll find it. This is all in my book. My book is not bullet points to success and how to do it. My book is all these stories, and they're very amusing stories. And eventually, and you know, we bulletproof lessons that we learn along the way. But if you read my book, not only will you be amused, but you'll pick a lot of this up. You'll pick up how to be organized, how to be successful, how to delegate, how to be a responsible capitalist, and how to really succeed and go from just making a living to making a fortune.
Right, and we all definitely want to get our share of that. So that's an exciting summary of the book, I will say, and it is a fantastic book. For those of you who might not have it, you can go to raisingeyebrows.com and Dal answers questions there from people. He's really committed to helping you be successful. You can also, of course, get the book and find out more information and read reviews on the book from other people who had it at Amazon.com, too. So, Dal, let's talk about that lifestyle thing a little bit more. You said, you know, you shouldn't work 24/7, but let me just say this, and I don't know, Jennifer, I'm interested in your thoughts because what you're going through as well. I don't work 24/7, Dal, but my business is 10 years old, and I will say that for a while, I never worked literally 24/7, but for a while, it was pretty much all I did to get my business to where it is right now. There was a period of time when, because I was doing everything myself, you know, and I'm a mom and I'm a wife, so I was also tending to my kids. I was exhausted, but it seems to me that for some people in some industries who aren't getting financing, they don't have a bank loan, which is so hard to get today, they're bootstrapping their businesses, that for some period of time, it is more likely than not to just be that way for a while. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the most important person in your life, besides your partner, your husband or your wife, is your assistant. If your assistant isn't the most fanatically organized, competent person, I'm sorry to say, you're going to have to move on, especially if you only have one person working for you. And there are people who love their assistants, and there are people who are always complaining about it. Yeah. The assistant is the person who takes care of everything, is ahead of you, books your airfare, does all, you know, your flights, and makes sure that whatever. And then the second most important person you'll hire then is, you know, your assistant's assistant. You know, it's just the way it works when you're starting. It's small. You force yourself. You work your 8 hours a day, and then the next day you come back to it. Keeping track of I have a, by the way, I have a steno notebook, and I have 40 years of these steno notebooks that I keep. A steno notebook is the ones with the spiral thing on the top, and I use it in one direction, so it's chronologically. I write in my notebook every single thing that I need to do that day. Anytime I get a business card or a piece of information, I tape it into the notebook. I don't ever lose any piece of information. I don't have papers all over the place with notes and all that. It's all in this one book that goes on, continuously going on. If I can remember what year I met you, I could find your business card because it's in that notebook. So that's an organizing tip for everyone. The other thing is doing profit and loss statement on your business every single month to keep track of what you're doing. And these days, back in my day, I didn't have QuickBooks. QuickBooks is a program that keeps track of your accounting, where with QuickBooks you enter everything in and then you can run a report. Now, for instance, keeping track of all your expenses, keeping track of, for instance, you use a cab, you pay the cab driver $10 to make a trip, ask him for a receipt, write the $10 on it, put your cash receipts in an envelope, a white manila envelope that you would use to send a letter in, write the amount on the outside. And then you add up on the outside when it fills up with all these cash receipts. You add it up, and you have the total, say, $99.85. You write a check to cash for that envelope full of receipts, and then you cash the check, and you get the cash back for yourself, and now you have a way that you've kept track you kept track of all your cash receipts. Your checks that you write are automatically kept track of, and your credit cards automatically keep track of everything. So now every penny you spend is kept track of through this simple system, and then you run your reports and you can see how you're doing, and then when it's time to do your taxes, you haven't missed any expenses, so you're not paying taxes you don't have to pay. Organize, organize, organize. You'll have more free time.
That's great tips. And so many of us think of organization in terms of some of the new technologies today, but and then oftentimes we complain that we can't afford them. But what you're saying, everyone can afford a spiral notebook and an envelope.
Yes, and everyone can remember to enforce themselves when they put something down, put it where it belongs. Don't put it down someplace. That's a simple step. You don't want to handle things more than once. And they also, people force themselves to throw it away. If you don't need it, throw it away. Look at it. You get your mail. Throw all the junk mail away right away. Don't let it pile up. The garbage pail is the greatest thing for an organized person.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite times of day is when I get to dump all the junk mail in the trash. Jennifer, we're coming to a close. What do you think? You got any final questions for Dal?
Oh, my gosh.
So many things to think about. But you have help now, so you're putting in place some of the tips that are suggested in Dal's book. You just hired your first official employee, but
yes.
I know I've known you for a while, and for a while you were doing everything yourself.
Yes, I was doing everything myself. And the question you would ask before about how do you do it when, like, to separate basically your business and your home personal life, it's hard to do that when you're running it out of your home. And
right.
And so you do need to sort of set those boundaries. But, I mean, now that I actually have a space to go to, I can be in my business, in my space, and just deal with that. On the other hand, too, I love
when you leave,
working.
You close the door and you go home.
Yeah, but I do, for the most part. I love working. It does not feel like work. It is, I'm just so thrilled to actually, and I'm at that point where, you know, I am making a living on my business. I'm paying my bills on my business. Sometimes I'm skating by, but sometimes not. And that's huge progress. And I guess my question would be, you know, my comment was that, you know, delegation is what you keep talking about. And when you can do that, you can free yourself up to expand your business. And I know for me, every time I've opened up my business and expanded it, it has gotten bigger in a good way. And I guess
and
that's my comment.
And hire someone to clean your house. You know?
Oh, I do
hire
that.
Hire someone to
I
clean your
it.
House. Right. You pay them $20-$25 an hour if you live in a big city, and you're not doing it, and you're worth, you always have to realize how much you're worth. You're probably worth, you know, when I first started my company, I was only worth what I was able to do. I was worth, you know, $20 an hour. But I'm worth $50 an hour, so, you know, I've got to think about it. Can I replace myself with somebody else who I can pay less to, so that gets done and I can move on?
Right.
Absolutely. These are fantastic tips from our guest today, Dal LaMagna, founder of Tweezerman. The book is called Raising Eyebrows, A Failed Entrepreneur Finally Gets It Right. Go to raisingeyebrows.com, and you can also follow Dal on Twitter at his name, that's spelled DalLaMagna, and if you forget how to pronounce it, just think about lasagna. It's Dal LaMagna, and that's how you spell it. And Jennifer from Clean Spa, give us a little bit of information about where to find you. We've got about a minute left. We want to hear about it.
Okay, cleanspa.com. It's cleanspa.com if you are in the cyber world. If you are local to Los Angeles, come to Burbank, come to Main Street, to the Mindful Nest store. It's where we cooperate with Mindful Nest. And we have a blending bar in Santa Monica. We have a blending bar in both, but in Santa Monica, you can sit down and I can custom blend a fragrance for you. So that is what I do.
What fun is that? And I bet your customers might need some Tweezerman supplies from time to time.
Yeah,
so
I was thinking that.
You got a connection, you know where you can go get them. Thanks so much for joining us, Dal LaMagna, founder of Tweezerman at raisingeyebrows.com. And Jennifer at cleanspa.com, and also Mindful Nest in Burbank and Santa Monica, California. Just find everybody on Google, guys. Great to have you here. Happy holidays. Very excited. We're going to take next week off. But we'll be back on the first Monday in December with another edition of the Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Great meeting you guys.
Nice to meet you. Bye.